Not going to give you a specific chapter today because in reality, we're going to be skipping all over Proverbs, looking at a bunch of different Proverbs, and that's kind of the way Proverbs is put together. Once you get past the first nine chapters, they're all strung together like pearls on a string, and so we'll just be picking different Proverbs, and I'll be making some observations. There is a character in Proverbs, and there's a lot of different characters in Proverbs, but there is one particular character in Proverbs who is destroyed for a lack of common sense, knowledge, judgment, and wisdom. And that tragic character is known as the fool. This next proverb describes a fool like this. Proverbs 10, verse 21. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. Beware of fools. Stay away from fools. They're dangerous. And then there's this next proverb. You've got to be close to see that one, but Proverbs 14:7. Stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on their lips. And then from Proverbs 17, verse 12. Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool bent on folly. Think about what that is saying. I've had the privilege of going fishing in Alaska several times, and you don't have to spend a lot of time in Alaska walking around rivers and hiking through the woods to know that if you come upon a bear cub or multiple bear cubs, and they're there in front of you, and you can't see the mama bear is nowhere to be found because she's behind you, and you are now in between a mama bear and her cubs, you're about to wake up dead. It's over. There's no hope. And yet this proverb says it's actually better to get caught in between a mama bear and her cubs than to come upon a fool while he's in the midst of his foolishness. That's how bad fools are. Beware of fools. They're dangerous. Stay away from fools. Proverbs could not be more clear on this particular message. And Proverbs has a lot to say about fools. And yet none of what Proverbs says about fools is addressed to fools. Talks about fools. It doesn't speak to fools. And there's a reason for that, which we'll see in just a few minutes. Instead, Proverbs addresses what we could call almost fools. Potential fools. Could be fools. Not yet fools, but about to be fools if they don't wake up and listen up and pay attention and get some wisdom. Talking about the young, the immature, the naive, the simple, and in some instances, the wise who are starting to get cocky and put too much confidence in their own wisdom. These are the kind of people that Proverbs about fools are addressed to. Those who aren't yet fools, but oh, if they keep walking down the path they're on, they will end up as fools. And the way Proverbs works in trying to steer us away from the path of foolishness, the path of folly, toward the way of wisdom, the way Proverbs works is it gives us these snapshots of fools caught hip deep in their folly. This is what a fool looks like. This is what a fool does. This is what a fool says. The idea being when we see just how ridiculous, how destructive, how contemptible, in some instances, how evil the actions are of a fool, it will push us in the opposite direction toward wisdom. The way Proverbs describes a fool, the purpose of it is to make us say, well, no, not me, never. I would never. Who wants to be known as, who wants to be described as, who wants to be remembered as, memorialized as a fool? Well, the obvious answer to that question should be no one. But we live in strange times, don't we? When, because of social media and viral video clips, an act of foolishness can make you famous if you survive it. I don't know what to even say about the Tide Pod Challenge, except that it's evidence we really don't live in a meritocracy. We live in an idiocracy, and you're seeing evidence of it. You see this sign that we are departing from the way of wisdom in our society by how quickly we reward the fools for their foolishness. We don't shun them. We don't hold them up as an example not to follow. We honor them. We like and we share and we repost their videos. We give them their own TV shows. We elect them to be president of the Here, Hold My Beer, and Watch This Club. And what did you think I was going to say? We honor fools. We reward them for their foolishness. What exactly is a fool? What makes a fool a fool? Well, if you keep reading through Proverbs, as I hope you're doing, a chapter a day throughout this whole series, you'll notice that fools are mentioned time and time again in Proverbs. It talks about fools. And it describes fools in a number of different ways, but they do have some characteristics in common. And one of the most common, one of the most obvious characteristics of a fool is fools are unwilling to learn. The fool does not want to, is not able to, is not interested in learning anything. You can't teach a fool. Wisdom is wasted on a fool. There's an old saying in the Pacific Northwest. It says there are foolish loggers and there are old loggers, but there are no old foolish loggers. Because if they don't learn, they don't live. They don't graduate to the next phase. Listen to this proverb, chapter 17, verse 16, two different versions. Why should fools have money in hand to buy wisdom when they are not able to understand it? Or in the NLT, which is based on the Living Bible, it is senseless to pay, in parentheses, tuition to educate a fool since he has no heart for learning. I put tuition in there for all the parents who've ever sent their kids to college. And a year later, you think, I might have been better off investing my money in a timeshare on the outskirts of Shreveport. That would have gone better. It does no good for a fool to enroll in the school of wisdom. It does no good to pay a sage to educate a fool. Why? Because fools don't learn. They don't want to learn. They can't learn. They're not interested in learning. One of the main reasons why fools don't learn is they don't listen. The fool does not listen. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31. Whoever heeds life-giving instructions, whoever listens to constructive criticism, will be at home among the wise. But the opposite of that is this. If you don't listen to constructive criticism, you're not going to be at home with the wise. You're going to be on the street with the fools. Or Proverbs 10, verse 8. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. The key word in that proverb is chattering. How can you ever listen if you're always talking? And then Proverbs 29, or 23, verse 9. It says, do not speak to fools, for they will scorn your prudent word. Don't even bother. This is why Proverbs is never addressed to fools. It does no good. They do not listen to anything anyone has to say, even God. And that's why the fool also does not fear the Lord. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1 says this about a fool. Fool says in his heart, there is no God. Doesn't matter, there's no God. And they are corrupt and their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. We've already covered Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 several weeks ago in this series. Just remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, a fool is the opposite of someone who fears the Lord. A fool is the opposite of someone who is willing to humble themselves before the Lord and listen and learn from God's word and God's world. If you want a quick an easy, down and dirty definition of a fool, here it is. A fool is as if God does not exist and if God's will doesn't matter. As if God does not exist and God's will does not matter, they only do what is right in their own eyes without regard for God or concern for others. And this is why fools are so dangerous. They will burn down the house. Not just because they don't know any better, they don't even care. And this is why throughout the scriptures, fool is a term of contempt. The ultimate insult, really. You fool! Jesus warns us in one of his teachings. He says, don't throw that word around casually. Don't just walk around calling people a fool. It's that serious. It's contemptible. No one wants to be labeled a fool, much less be one. It is the worst. Which brings me to this question. How can we know if we are potential fools? How can you know if you are a fool in progress? I say in progress because if you're already a fool, if you're already hardened in your ways, it's too late, doesn't matter, I can't help you. Proverbs can't help you if you're that far gone. If you're already a fool, you're not even listening to what I'm saying right now. And if you are listening to what I'm saying, you don't think this teaching is for you. You think it's for someone else. It's for your ex. It's for your brother. For your parents. It's for anybody, but boy, I wish they could hear this. They really need to hear this. This is good stuff about fools. Never once considering it might be about you. So how do you know if you're a fool in progress? Because this message, just like the whole book of Proverbs, is addressed not to the fools, but those who could be, the potential fools, the not yet fools, the fools in progress. How do you know? How could you discern if you're heading on a path that's going to lead you someday to destruction? Well, if you're unwilling to listen to feedback from trusted others, then you may be in danger becoming a fool. I don't watch TV shows like American Idol anymore, but I did years ago, and mostly for the comedic effect, the opening stage when you would have all these horrible singers that would parade in front of these judges, and some of them there were just goofing around trying to make somebody laugh, but weren't there always a few who really thought they had what it took to be the next American Idol? They really thought they could sing. And they had people telling them that their moms and their dads and their friends on the show, you are such a good singer. And they really believed it. And then they step in front of judges who know what they're talking about, sing three notes. Simon says, time out, not going to work. You can't sing. Off you go. And how do they respond? They get angry. They say mean things back to the judges. They storm off. They refuse to listen. Someone's telling them the truth about themselves, and they can't embrace it. You know what that is? That's a fool in progress, at least in that part of their lives. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says it this way. The way of fools seems right to them, but it's the wise who listen to advice. A number of years ago, I read a news story about a blind man who successfully climbed Mount Everest. He was able to do this because he was a good listener. He got good, lucky weather, but he was also a good listener. He listened to the bell that was tied to the climber in front of him on the same rope. He listened to that bell, and that bell told him what direction to keep walking. And he listened to the voices of his teammates who would shout out dangers and obstacles along the way. Death fall 2 feet to your right. Go straight. And he did, all the way to the top of the mountain. And he was able to do this for two reasons. First, he surrounded himself by people that he trusted who could see things that he couldn't. And he listened to them. We all have blind spots. We have these areas, these parts of our lives, annoying habits, reactive tendencies, personality quirks that we are unaware of. that are driving other people crazy. It's amazing sometimes how there are things about ourselves we can't see, we can't know, we don't understand, and yet the people around us who know us best see them in an obvious way. And then when they try to share those blind spots, when they try to tell us how we come across, when they try to tell us what we're doing that makes it impossible to be in a meeting with us, when they try to tell us why we keep finding ourselves in conflict unnecessarily over and over and over again, they're doing us a favor. They're giving us feedback. They're helping us make the most of our gifts and our talents to take advantage of our opportunities. They're helping us just not be annoying. They're keeping us from walking off of a cliff. And this is one of the fundamentals of gaining wisdom. It's one of the fundamentals of succeeding in life, at work, at home, on the field, in the gym, on the court. We all need coaches. We all need people we love and who love us and to whom we trust. And we need them to speak into our lives, and we need to listen to what they have to say and make adjustments. So if we're not able to do this, if we're not willing to do this, we very well could be a fool in progress, headed for nowhere. Second, if you have a hard time admitting mistakes, you may be in danger of being a fool. If you have a hard time owning your mistakes, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't make a mistake. It wasn't me. No, that was the way I intended. If you can't admit and own and learn from your mistakes, you may be in danger of becoming a fool. I read an article about George Clooney. I don't necessarily know that he's a paragon of wisdom, but I love the story about him. He hangs a picture of himself in a bat suit on his office wall to remind him of what he considers to be one of the biggest mistakes of his career. And even if the movie wasn't a mistake, that suit is definitely a mistake. And he doesn't want to forget it. And he doesn't want to make the same mistake twice. You got to appreciate somebody who can admit their mistakes and have a sense of humor about it. It's one of the ways we grow in wisdom. It's unforgettable. Speaking of unforgettable images, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11. As a dog returns to its vomit, just reading the Bible, folks. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Fools just keep making the same mistakes over and over again. They never learn. They never grow. They never make adjustments. They just keep returning to their folly like a dog returns. And it never gets better. One of my favorite questions to ask people when I'm interviewing them for a ministry position, they're a good fit for our ministry team, good fit to do work at our church. One of my favorite questions is this. Excuse me. Tell me about two mistakes you've made in your career and the lessons you've learned from them. And I'm always a little bit surprised that some people have a hard time answering that question. I've always got mistakes bumping around in my head. I'm haunted by my mistakes most of the time. But sometimes you talk to, can you name some of the mistakes you've made, and they can't think of anything. And I always wonder when that happens, is that because you're not a risk taker, or you're lazy and you've never really done anything, or you've never tried anything new, and so you honestly have never made mistakes because you've just never done anything. You always play it safe. That's one way to keep from making mistakes, except playing it safe is a mistake. But it could also mean you can't name a mistake because you can't own it, you can't acknowledge it. You haven't thought about it enough to be able to say, that was a mistake, and here's what I learned from it. If that's the case, that's not the kind of person I want to be on a team with. That's not the kind of person I want to work with. To be able to own and learn. The wisest people in the world are not mistake-free. They're not wise because they've never made mistakes. They're wise because they made a lot of mistakes, and they've owned them, and they've learned from them, and they do not repeat them. Wise people still make mistakes. Being wise is not an antidote for never messing up again. No one's perfect. We all make mistakes. Wise people just make new mistakes. They don't keep coming back and making the same mistakes over and over again. They learn and they grow and they move on. And if we can't do that, then we may be fools in progress. And then finally, this one, if you have a tendency to blame other people or to blame God for your problems, if it's always somebody else's fault, then you may be in danger of being a fool. If you run into a jerk first thing in the morning and have a terrible encounter, it means you ran into a jerk first thing in the morning. But if you have a horrible encounter with one jerk after another all day long, guess what? You're the jerk. John Maxwell describes it this way with the law of Bob. He says if Bob has a problem with everybody, Bob's the problem. This is how Proverbs says it. Proverbs 19, verse 3. A person's own folly leads to their ruin. Their foolishness ruins their lives, and yet their heart rages against the Lord. I've totally messed up my life. I've lost my family. I've lost my job, and it's God's fault. He did this to me. Proverbs says that's the language of a fool. Years ago, when I was going through a particularly difficult season of my life, I've shared some of it with you before, experienced some failure and some public embarrassment for failing and not being able to do everything I wanted to do, and hitting a place in my career and in my life, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with the rest of my life. It was a very dark season, very hard time for me. And as I was trying to sort through the rubble and the mess I'd made, it was so tempting to look for other people to blame. Circumstance, it was their fault. God, why did you do this to me? And it was in the midst of that season, with the help of some people who just kept speaking into my life, I came to see it wasn't them. It was me. That most, not all, but most of my wounds are self-inflicted. Most of my wounds, the scars, the pain, the mistakes that haunt me, they weren't anybody else's fault but mine. I'd shoot myself in the foot, reload, and shoot myself in the other foot. And it was that experience that trained me to start asking this question, especially when I find myself complaining about something. The question is, how have I contributed to the problem about which I'm complaining? Oh, I don't like this, and they're doing this, and I wish this were different, and oh, that's such a big problem. Stop, wait, hold on. How have I contributed to the problem about which I'm complaining? How am I responsible for this very problem that I'm hoping somebody else will solve? Or that I'm trying to solve by trying to change other people. I ask myself this question. I also ask others this question when they come to me to complain. How have you contributed to the problem about which you're complaining? Now, when I ask myself this question, it forces me to take responsibility. When I ask others this question, it forces them to go and complain to someone else. Just... because it's an uncomfortable question, isn't it? You keep coming back around to a problem at work or in your marriage or here at church, and you always are able to diagnose, here's the problem, and it's he did, she did, they need to. Instead of saying first, before it's he, she, or they, how about me? What have I done? What have I said, or what have I not done? What have I not said that has helped create this very problem about which I'm complaining? A fool's never going to take responsibility for his or her own actions. A fool is always going to look for someone else to blame. It's God, it's him, it's her, it's them. And if you find that that's your habit, that's your tendency, then you may be a fool in progress. So what do you think? Are you one? Are you a fool in progress? Are you willing to learn Are you hungry for wisdom? Do you want to know more about how to successfully navigate life? Are you ready to humble yourself and listen to God and God's word and other people and the world as it speaks wisdom to us? God's world always revealing wisdom. Are you willing to receive feedback? Not self-talk, but feedback from other people. And are you willing to own your mistakes? Stop repeating them over and over again. And are you willing to take responsibility for the things in your life that are driving you crazy, that you most want to solve? If the answer to those questions is yes, then I have some great news for you. You're not a fool in progress. You're already on the way to wisdom. And if the answer to those questions is no, and it really bothers you, and you feel some conviction and stirring in your heart, I have good news for you. You're not yet a fool. There's still hope. There's still time. You can stop where you are right now. Turn around. The Bible calls that repentance. You can turn around, head back to the trailhead, get off the path of folly, and head down the way of wisdom, and walk with others who will speak into your life and help you grow in wisdom. There's still time. It's not too late. And so what are you waiting for? If you think you may be a fool in progress, let me give you one action item. Find somebody. Somebody you know and trust. Someone that loves you. You love them. You may not always like what they say, but you love them. Find someone and ask the question, what do I need to know? What do I need to learn? Where are my blind spots? What am I doing that causes me to keep stumbling and falling? You see it. You know it. Tell me. Give me feedback. Help me see it. Help me learn. Help me grow. Tell me. Solicit feedback. And then listen. Listen.